I remind you again, there's this triad of wickedness. Christians have been delivered from the present evil world, bondage to Satan, and dominion to sin. We have considered the first, deliverance from the bondage to the present evil world, the wicked world. We now come to the deliverance from Satan, and then after that, the deliverance from sin in the members, from the flesh. Bondage to Satan and deliverance from that. This is very closely connected to the previous one. The deliverance from this present evil world. As I say, there's a logical order here. It's following on because who's the God of this present evil world? It's the devil, isn't it? Satan. So there's a connection. Being delivered from the present evil world, we have to be delivered from Satan. You can't have one or the other. You can't have one and not have the other. They both have to come together. Both are necessary. Because the devil and the world go hand in hand. They're married together, the devil and the world. The devil is the world's Lord, the world's God, the God of this world, who hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. So all the worldlings in the world have been overpowered and blinded by the devil. And he makes them to be in bondage in his world. And what is he called very often in Scripture? The prince of the power of the air. As if he's over the world, flying over the world, transiting the world. In time past, you walked according to the course of this world. We've already quoted that verse. That's changed in conversion. But not only walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So there's a devil. There's an evil spirit. And there are evil spirits in the world that are working in the world. And that adds to the evil of the world and the power of wickedness. The satanic power in the world and behind the world and over the world. Because we don't only wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not just about the people of the world. It's not just about the things that go on in the world that people do. No, there's much more to it than that. We wrestle also against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. There's a darkness of this world, and there are rulers over that. And I take that to be evil spirits, to be the devil, not just politicians and kings and queens and governors. No, they have flesh and blood, kings and queens and governors, but these are not flesh and blood. These are the spirit rulers over the world. That are working in the children of disobedience. So there's a Satan. He's real. And devils and demons, they're real. They are powers. And they keep men in bondage. We know that we are of God, John said. 1 John 5, verse 19. And the whole world lieth in wickedness. And what he seems to be saying there is, it lies in the lap of the wicked one. It lies in the lap of Satan. I have to remind you of Christ's word that we read at the start there in Luke's Gospel. Satan hath bound. Satan bound that woman. And Satan binds sinners. And that bondage has to be broken. The redemptive work of Christ has to deal with that. And there can be no freedom from the present evil world until there's freedom from Satan and his bondage. It's a bit like Egypt and Pharaoh, isn't it? Egypt oppresses. Egypt scourges and whips the Hebrews and makes their life miserable and hard, and they're in bondage. But it's not just the Egyptians and not just the people of Egypt. Their authority and their power comes from Pharaoh. And Pharaoh is like the devil. He's like Satan. He has his people. He has his Egypt. He is the king over them. He's like the Leviathan of the Nile, the wicked one. And the Hebrews had to be redeemed out of Egypt. But in order to that, Pharaoh's head had to be crushed. Pharaoh had to be dealt a blow. He had to be finished off. And so they had to be delivered not just from the country, from Egypt. They had to be delivered from Pharaoh. Yes, the bondage and the rigor and the cruelty of the Egyptians, the world, but Pharaoh had to be dealt with. Egypt's head, Egypt's Leviathan had to be crushed. And the world cannot be dealt with in the redemptive work of Christ without the Lord Jesus Christ dealing with Satan himself. And that's what the cross work is all about, as we know. You see, sinners are not just in blindness, they are captives of sin. It's not just that they have a sin nature and a sin problem. They are in the chains of the devil and in the dungeons of the wicked one. They're held captive by him. The snare of the devil. And they're taken captive by him at his will. That's what the Bible says. And when the gospel comes, it's to open the men's eyes. It's to turn them from darkness unto light. It also has to turn them from the power of Satan, who is a real being. They have to be turned from his power unto God in order to receive the forgiveness of sins and the inheritance. So the power of Satan has to be broken in the lives of God's people. Paul says that Christ hath delivered us from the power of darkness, of Satan, and that God has translated us into the kingdom of his Son. We read in Revelation chapter 12 on an occasion, the great dragon, he was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. That's what the work of Christ accomplished. The casting out of Satan. His defeat. His power broken. And so the Lord is one who not only opens the eyes of the blind, he brings them out of the prison house. And the prison house has a keeper. Because it belongs to someone. It's someone's prison house. And the prison housekeeper is Satan. The Lord has to break the prison house captain. And that's what he did in his redemptive work. And so the work of Christ must deal with Satan. As the parable puts it in Luke chapter 11, verse 21. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. That strong man is the devil. He's very much armed. He is careful to keep his palace. To him it is the most wonderful place of all this world, his palace. And he has dungeons in his palace, wherein he keeps his captives. The only way that they can be set free, as Jesus says, when one stronger, a stronger one comes along. When one stronger comes, he shall come upon him and overcome him and take from him all his army and divide all his spoils. And his spoils are the souls of men. And the Lord Jesus overcomes him and takes away his armor and defeats him and liberates his spoils and brings them into his heaven of rest. And so the Lord Jesus Christ does that. And it was in his cross work that he did that. You know that the power of darkness had to be dealt with before we could ever be saved. And that's what the cross work is all about. Now is the prince of this world cast out, Jesus said, on the eve of the cross. You remember the first promise, the first gospel promise, the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. The very first promise was defined in terms of crushing the devil's head, defeating the serpent, defeating the one who had brought man into bondage. And while his head would be crushed, of course, the seed of the woman, his heel would be bruised. He would suffer too, but he would not be held of death, but through death destroyed him that had the power of death. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who defeated the devil and delivered his people from his dominion. For as much then, Hebrews 2 verse 14, as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. 1 John 3:8. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Colossians 2:15. Concerning the cross of Christ, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. That is in his cross work. That's how he defeated the devil. So the deliverance from the power, the bondage of Satan. We come to this third wickedness in the triad of evil. The final one that we deal with tonight in this list of things that we have been delivered from in Christ. Freedom, deliverance from the dominion of sin. The dominion of sin. And again, this is closely related with the previous two. The power of the world, Satan and sin are all interrelated. Now, they are separate and can be considered separate. But they are connected also. If there was no world now and no Satan now, there would still, of course, be sin in the world. You know, if there wasn't the world, as it were, was dealt with, and the evil of the world, and if Satan was dealt with, there's still the problem of sin in the flesh. So it is there on its own, something on its own. And yet the devil, you know, stirs it up, and he's the one that brought it about in the fall. And so they are interrelated too. Now, I remind you that this reference to sin, it is the second reference to sin in the list. We've already dealt with the guilt of sin. That's different. We're dealing now with the dominion of sin. Freedom from the guilt of sin was at the top of the list. It was first, rightly dealt with first, because we are viewed there as guilty. And there's guilt, our sin. Even forget about the devil, even forget about the world. We have guilt just in ourselves. And that has to be dealt with, and the Lord Jesus deals with our guilt of sin. Because we're criminals and we have stain and we're liable to punishment, obligations to be punished because of that stain. So guilt is about stain and about the obligation to punishment. It marks a sinner as a rebel who ought to be held to account and judged. So that there is a freedom from the guilt of sin. But what the divines are dealing with now is freedom from sin's dominion. That is a different thing. This marks the sinner out not just as guilty and stained. This marks the sinner out as a slave. We're not just stained and guilty and unclean. We're stained, guilty, unclean slaves in the prison house of sin, under the dominion of sin. We're in bondage to sin itself. The dominion of sin is a very harsh regime, very cruel regime, very powerful and mighty. Its destructive nature and that dominion eventually leads to bring them all to hell. And sinners cannot free themselves from this dominion of sin. No matter how many New Year resolutions they will resolve, no matter what determination of will they might have, there is the power of sin reigning. So sin has a power over sinners. It's like sinners obey sin. They follow sin. They want sin. It's as if sinners have a law in their members that want to sin and to go and sin. And it's real. It's like an empire over them that is undisturbed until the gospel comes and Christ comes. And then the sinner's brought into a new relationship where he battles, where he wars with sin, where he struggles against sin, where those members are no longer reigning and controlling, but are being fought and battled against day by day. Sometimes there are defeats. Sometimes they're overcoming. Even Christians can fall into sin. But it's totally different from what they were before they were set free by Christ. So sinners out of Christ submit to the reign of sin. They give themselves voluntarily over to it. They don't battle. They even seem to delight in it. And very often don't even feel guilty about it at all. They give themselves over to its rule, to its reign. And they yield their members without struggle. And they go with the flow. They follow the lusts of the flesh. It rules and reigns in their members. And that's the way it is. But Christ, when he saves his people, disturbs that dominion. And greatly disturbs it too. He changes the lives of his people. He shakes that empire over them to its core in his death for them. And he hath made his people rebels against sin. That's what they're becoming. He delivers them. He knocks the king's sin off the throne. And he makes his people to become rebels against sin. To take up arms against sin on the behalf of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's a warfare. They have not completely overcome sin. They have not completely conquered sin. But they're under the King now, Jesus. And they're battling sin. It's a complete change around. And those of us that are Christians know about this struggle, this warfare. We're not what we want to be, but we're definitely not what we were. Through Christ's grace, we're warring, we're battling the lusts of the flesh and the sins that would rule and reign in our members if Christ had not converted us. So you see, we're not under its dominion. It's still present. Sin is still present. Just as the evil world is still present. And it's still wanting to reign. It's still wanting to get back onto the throne again. But it is no more prevalent, prevailing. And it's always unable to get back onto the throne again in a true Christian heart. So it is not our prince anymore, but it is our enemy that we are born, labor, and fight against. So there's not the willing obedience to sin that there was before Christ came. Now, Augustine, he describes man in a very interesting way under four conditions. There is a condition of man before the law, whenever there's no law, no light. And sinners, what do? They don't fight nor strive against sin at all. They don't hardly know what sin is. They just go on. No law to convict. So there are men without law. And then there are men under law who have the light of the law their fight. They know it's wrong, but they are utterly overcome, because the law is powerless to break the reign of sin. And then there is the condition of men under grace, where we fight and we conquer. Where we fight and we overcome. And then in heaven, it is all conquest. There's no conflict anymore. There's no battle anymore. It's the victory of complete conquest in the heavenly state. So we're in the present state as Christians. We're in that third condition whereby through grace we daily combat and are overcoming. That's what the liberty of Christ that he's brought us into. The liberty of being a soldier of his. To fight sin. And no longer recognize its reign and dominion. Now the proof text for all of this is drawn from Romans chapter 6. I especially highlight verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under the law, but under grace. You see, the law is not sufficient. It has to be under the grace of God to be brought into a condition where sin is not reigning and having the dominion. Now the chapter 6 starts with, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And of course that's unthinkable. How can Christians continue in sin? Christ has died, and those that are in union to him have died in him, and in some sense they have died to sin. So they can't live in sin, and they can't continue in sin. God forbid, he says, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. We also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. And so our old man is crucified with him. That body of sin, that it might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We're not the slaves of sin. We don't recognize sin as our master. We refuse to. We're in union to Jesus Christ. He's our Lord and Master. And on the chapter goes down to verse 14. And then verse 18. Being then made free from sin. This is what we're talking about. Freedom from sin. Freedom from its dominion. Not freedom from its presence. Absolutely speaking. That doesn't happen until the glorification. But freedom from its power, its reign, its dominion. And freedom to become the servants of Christ. The servants of righteousness. And no more the slaves of sin. And being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting. Now that whole chapter 6 is the chapter that deals with the freedom from the dominion of sin. Now sin, as I say, it still is present. It attacks. It invades at times. Sometimes it maybe even seems to win in the lives of some saints. But it does not reign. Its reign is broken. It never will have the place that it once had. Christ has seen to that. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Never again. Never again. It's a complete breaking of its reign in Christ. And for this victory, the complete and final and ultimate victory, we have to keep on battling. And we have to maintain our union to Christ, or not our union to Christ. He maintains the union, but we have to maintain the communion with the Lord Jesus. Praying to him, asking for his Holy Spirit, praying His word will strengthen us and get into us to make use of Christ in our conflict and in our on our battles. You see, apart from Christ, the Christian will be defeated and fall many, many times. But he has to walk with Christ. He has to resolve to continue his communion with the Lord Jesus Christ and fly to him, the refuge and the stronghold, and to take the armour of God from him and to believe the Bible and to trust in the Word and to trust in the Lord Jesus to make him our shield. And so that in our warfare with sin, he is between us and sin. As believers then, you know your liberty. You have to know this. You can't stand fast in it if you don't know it. This is your liberty. You have to stand fast in it. You have to rejoice in it. You have to thank God for it. You have to recall it. You have to recollect what liberty you have in Christ. You're to think upon it. You're to meditate upon it. You're to remember it. You're to read daily your charter of freedom that you have in Jesus Christ. What you have in Christ. So put on the Christian armor and face the world and face Satan and battle that sin in your life, in your members. All the while preaching to your soul these truths. Delivered from this present evil world. The world is crucified unto me. You have to tell yourself that. You have to remind yourself that. Your position in Christ. Delivered from Satan's prison house. It's brought you into another room. A room of grace. A spacious room. Where there are saints and the people of God and prayer and Bible and the Holy Spirit and the congregation. He's brought you into this. Remember what you have. He's destroyed the devil. He's bruised his head. He's cast Satan out of your life. Remind yourself. Sin shall not have dominion over you, the Bible says. It's the promise of your charter of freedom. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Remind yourself of this and continue soldiers of Jesus Christ.